right. Hey, good evening, folks. Good to see you. Thank you for connecting back with us again. And we're always happy that we're able to do this. As I've said many times over the last couple of months, it has been such a blessing and a privilege to be able to still connect with you because of the technology that we have. So thank you. Thank you for taking your time this evening to sit down with us and look into God's Word. We did get the prayer bulletin emailed out earlier today. So you do have that to use as a guide while you're praying. Please remember to pray for those individuals that are in there. Pray for our governmental leaders as they need wisdom right now. They need wisdom. Some would say they need common sense, but don't we all? And many times when we're in the middle of unknown and high pressure, we sometimes tend to make decisions based on feelings or emotions, and just pray for them. They're fallible creatures just like we are, and they need our prayers. Pray for those individuals in our bulletin too that are having some medical issues right now. And we thank you for the prayers that you give to those prayer emails that we send out during the week. I know one was sent out this morning to pray for Gene and his wife, and continue to pray for them. I was able to spend a little bit of time with his wife this morning. They're just waiting for God to say, come on home, Gene. And so just be in prayer for that entire family. We're going to take tonight and turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 77, Psalm number 77, and we're going to be looking at this topic of depression. Absolutely no way that we can deal with this in one night, and it would take several weeks probably to deal with this adequately, and even then there are individuals that could take it even further than I could on this. But in the context of our series, when you just can't get over it, depression, when you just can't get over it, how do you overcome it? Years ago, there was a famous Christian psychologist who was being interviewed, and he was asked this question. He was asked, how do you feel about telling a child he shouldn't do something because the Bible says he shouldn't do it? Oh, that's a good question. And this Christian psychologist was asked about that. And his answer was, well, I have some mixed emotions about that. He said, I'm a little nervous about using the Bible as a club to beat people over the head. Does that sound right to you? Of course. The Bible shouldn't be used as a club. Absolutely not. But to refer to the Bible as somehow repressive towards people, that's just not right. This person just didn't understand how God intended his word to be used to meet the real needs of people, not as an enforcement tool. You know, there is a place for psychology as long as it's used with the Bible as its foundation. The Bible itself, it actually has a lot of a lot to say about depression. Let me ask you this. Can Christians struggle with depression? Absolutely. There are even some godly people mentioned in the scripture that had to deal with it themselves. Asaph, the one we're going to look at tonight, he was someone who actually authored some of the Psalms. And the one we're going to look at tonight is one of the ones that he had authored. Let's go ahead and look at that. Psalm 77. I'll begin reading there at verse number 3. I remembered God and was troubled. Well, let me just stop there, because we're going to come back to this statement here in just a moment. He remembered God and it troubled him. The interesting glimpse into his frame of mind at this moment. He said, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I called to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent speech. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. Before we finish the psalm to see how it ends, I want to just take a moment and look at some of the ways that depression expresses itself through these words that Asaph has recorded for us. Here's what it looks like. First of all, physically, depression, and if you've struggled with this, you know it. If you've been there, done that, you already know this. It affects our sleep. It's a mental thing, but it affects our sleep. We are physically exhausted, but get this, and you know this, we're physically exhausted, but we can't sleep. Our mind is just racing a mile a minute. Physically exhausted, but our mind just won't shut down and we can't sleep. And of course, that just exacerbates everything. Verse 4 there from Asaph, he said, thou holdest mine eyes waking. He can't sleep. Folks, we know this too. A lack of sleep, it just heightens our emotions. It affects our judgments. And it just won't let us get what we most need. Sleep. What would we say here? Well, brother, you just need to give it to God and go to sleep. Easier said than done, right? And one reason is that the turmoil that's going on in our head is not always specific. When we hear that phrase, well, you just need to give it to God. Give what to God? There's no specific it in my head. There's just this general sense of wakefulness, this general sense of turmoil and darkness. I don't even know what to give to God because I can't find anything in my head to give to him, right? Here's a second glimpse that we have from Asaph. Number two, we can't vocalize the issue. Verse number four again, he said, I am so troubled, I cannot speak. Have you ever asked somebody, what's wrong? Obviously, there's something wrong. Physically, you can tell there's something wrong with them. You say, what's wrong? And they say, I don't know. There's something heavy, something dark. Maybe even you find yourself crying, but you just can't explain it. There's no words. Can't speak. Here's a third thing. Distorted thinking. Verses 5 and 6, he says, I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Now, let's just kind of unwrap those two verses here. Depression, it causes us, or a turmoil that we're in that's leading us to depression, it causes us to look at the past like he did. He considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. And we think, wow, things were so much better, so much easier, so much happier, so much more trouble-free in the days of old, in the past. And it clouds our vision. It convinces us, well, first of all, it clouds our visions because let's be real here. The days of old, in the past, those weren't trouble-free. We have troubles all through our life. Everybody does. So our thinking has been distorted, and here's what it also does to us. It tells us there is no hope. In fact, I would say if depression could speak audibly, we would hear it say words like no hope, no hope, no hope. I think those words maybe express the feeling that we have when we're in or going into this state of depression. Regardless of the current situation, we have to turn our focus upward, not backward at days of old. Folks, Jesus is our Savior, and because He is our Savior, wait, first, what makes Him our Savior? He saved us, right? He loved us so much, He gave Himself on the cross to die, took God's wrath, our penalty, because He loves us that much, He is our Savior, and because He is our Savior, we do have hope for the future. In other words, the best is yet to come. Number four, we become our own counselor. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. I thought this to be rather interesting. In our minds, when we're going through a turmoil, heading into depression or in depression or some level of depression, we begin to ask ourselves the same questions. It's like we're counseling ourselves. We're asking ourselves over and over and over the same questions. Why? 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 If only, if only, what if, why? Now, from my experience, and possibly from yours too, let's ask this question. Did it help to ask the same question over and over? It doesn't help, does it? We just keep, when we're doing that, if you could picture it this way, we just keep spiraling in this whirlpool of confusion that we can't seem to get out of. Asaph wrote that he was communing with his own heart. He was doing that, asking himself the same questions over and over and over. And then he begins to ask these questions that we see there in verses 7 and 9. I read them already. Will he ever take me back? Will he ever again be favorable? Will my life ever be better? Has his love ceased for me? Am I separated from his promises? Has God turned his back on me? He's forgotten to be gracious to me. Will he ever be compassionate to me again? Can God ever forgive me? I mean, you can just hear the sorrow in his voice. To Asaph, God's promises and mercy had vanished. He's not thinking straight, obviously. They've vanished and there's nothing left. Emptiness and no hope. And we feel like we just can't continue. Here's what we need to know. If we begin to search ourselves for the answers to our own problems, we're not on the path that has the cure. The path that we're on is in turmoil, it's in confusion, and we keep running around in circles looking for an answer amongst this confusion. That's the wrong path to be on. Perhaps thoughts are going through your head, I just can't take it anymore. So those are some of the signs, I guess, of depression, as we've seen here in Asaph's life. Here's a question for us. Why do we get depressed? I mean, think of it. Christians should be the most joyful people in the world. Okay, why do we get depressed? As Christians, we are saved. we're going to heaven, right? Jesus said, in fact, that he'll provide our needs. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So why do so many Christians struggle with depression? Just stepping on the outside and looking at it from the outside through our Sunday school answers. I mean, we know this should not be. Christians are so blessed. They have so many blessings from God. They should never get depressed, and yet so many Christians do. Let's look at Asaph for some of the reasons for his sadness, his depression. And the first reason is this: a distorted view of God. Folks, we know this, the Sunday school answer, right? God is good. God is merciful. God is wonderful. God is loving. Can you think of some other things? God is gracious. God is forgiving, right? But look at what Asaph wrote again in verse 3. I remembered God and was troubled. How could you think about God and be troubled as a Christian? In depression, our view of God can go from what we know of God to God doesn't care. Stepping outside, what do we know of God? He's the creator of the universe. He is all powerful, all knowing, all wise, all loving, all gracious, all merciful. This God is huge. But in the middle of our distorted thinking about God, Asaph was troubled by it. In the middle of our view of what we know of God, we go from what we know of God to God doesn't care. Really? That's distorted thinking, isn't it? Maybe we even blame God for the trouble that we're in. So, first, there's a distorted view of God. Secondly, there's doubt about God. We begin to doubt God. Looking at verses 7 through 9 again, if you have your Bibles there, in these verses, Asaph fires off these questions right there in those last three verses about God. And they're really insinuations that he's making about God. When we are in a trial period, it is easy to question God instead of just resting in his promises. We don't like it. We don't understand it. But God, I trust you. Listen to this quote. Sometimes we feel like we have to understand everything when all we have to do is walk by faith. This questioning of God can be a precursor to full-on depression. Okay, so the first nine verses, Asaph is just sort of pouring out his emotions, pouring out his feelings. And then in verse 10, his thoughts suddenly turn the corner on us. And it shows us there is light at the end of the tunnel. Look with me at verse 10. He says, "And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High." And you see, he has now put God from doubting him to the Most High, back where he belongs. He says, "I will remember." We cannot overlook that. We can't minimize that. When we are in this dark zone, okay, this period, whatever we want to call it, and we're spiraling around, counseling ourselves, our view is all distorted, we have a distorted view of God, and then we see these words, well, we have to spend some time and think about God. So many times that will just go right over our heads and we discount it. But that is exactly what we see being done in the Bible. David himself did it too. He remembered God. That means he intentionally stopped the thoughts in his head and thought about God. And didn't just sit there and think, oh yes, God is good, God is great. Nope, didn't work. It didn't solve my problems yet. We're going to get to that here in just a moment. But it's more than just a one and done kind of thing. It's not like popping a pill from the doctor and everything gets better. When we are depressed, we only look at God and everything else through negative eyes. And we tend to see only the bad when we're depressed. We don't see anything good about anything. And so there are some reminders here for us from Asaph. Throughout the Old Testament, they would the Israelites would set up memorials. When they crossed the Red Sea, they set up memorials, and all throughout other parts of the Old Testament, they would set up these memorials, these monuments, as reminders of what God had done for them. We need reminders so that when people began to doubt, they could see the memorial and their mind would be directed back to, oh yeah, God did this, God had done that. So here's first what we need to do. Remember what he has done for you, personally, you. Asaph realized that part of the cure for depression is remembering the blessings. Now, it makes so much sense. It sounds too simplistic. But when we're in this dark mode, this depression mode, all we're thinking is negative. So it makes sense, doesn't it, to think about the ways that God has blessed you personally. And he realized that the cure for depression is doing just that, part of it. Remember the blessings that God has given you. Remember answered prayers. Remember ways that God has worked in your life. Remember what he has done for you. Second thing, remember the greater works that God has done. So again, we're remembering what God has done, but not specifically for you, but remember the greater works, the work of creation, the glory of creation, the beauty of it, remembering the work of salvation, remembering the work of grace and forgiveness and mercy, remembering the greater works of God. There's many listed for us in the Old Testament. All the Old Testament accounts where we see God working in different people's lives. Now, compared to some of those things and what they went through, nothing we face is insurmountable to God when we see what God did in the Old Testament. Remembering the greater works of God. And don't just remember, okay? Because as I mentioned just a moment or two ago, it's not just remembering that, okay, God is good. Nope, I'm not better yet. Remembering has the idea of meditating. Spending time thinking, rethinking. Just like we're rethinking the why. Do that with God is good. God is good. God is good. Meditate on that. It's all about thinking differently. Thinking about God instead of the problems. Where is your focus? Do your problems draw you away, rob you from your joy? It plunge you into this dark mood? Thinking about God brings our attention back to him. Why? It changes our focus. Here's another thing. Rejoicing in the Lord, that we should do is rejoicing in the Lord. That's just, it's just praising God. Do it out loud, even. You think, well, that'll sound silly. Maybe. Rejoice in the Lord. That'll feel awkward because I don't feel like rejoicing. Do it anyway, okay? And the more we are meditating and focusing on God and His blessings to us and His greater blessings and works and focusing on just praising Him, our thinking begins to change and it begins to transform our spirits. Look at the effect that it had on Asaph. Let's go back to Psalm 77, verse 13. It says, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders." Now, remember in verse 3, he remembered God and it troubled him. Not anymore, okay? "Thou art the God, and it doeth wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph," Selah. And now verse 19. "The way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known." Now, I throw that verse in there because it gives us a little bit of insight into our journey away from or out of and how we're supposed to get out of depression. Along with the other things that Asaph has already revealed to us, we need to understand. Well, first, this verse 19 is a reference to the Israelites coming out of Egypt and their path through the Red Sea. Okay, as the waters were parted. And they were fleeing from Pharaoh and his army. The way is the sea. That's what he's referring to. And thy path, the rescue, the salvation for the Israelites was in the great waters, that verse tells us. And look what it says there. Thy footsteps are not known. Now, I've been told if you're ever in a snowstorm, okay, you try to follow some footsteps. You know you're going in the right direction, perhaps. Years ago, I was traveling in the winter up to Wisconsin for a grad class that I was taking. And on the way there, this huge snowstorm came up. And it started off as ice all the way up till North Bloomington. And then it turned to snow. And then it was heavy, heavy snow. And I'm driving a little economy car at the time. And the snow was getting deep on the interstate. There were no plows out. So I stayed right behind a semi truck in his tracks because where he's going through the snow and I will stay in his tracks. I felt safe in his tracks because I knew I could follow along through that snow as long as he was going first and I was in his tracks. Then somewhere up about Janesville, Wisconsin is where I had to get off the interstate and then head north up into Wisconsin on just a little state road. Well, the semi didn't get off with me. And there I was in the 3, 4, 5 inches of snow, however deep it was, I don't remember, but it was pretty deep. And there were no tracks to follow. I guess I should have at that point questioned my intelligence for being out at the road at that time. But there I was. I had about an hour left to go, and it was very unnerving. Okay, I couldn't see the edges of the road very well. It was dark. The snow was coming down heavy. You couldn't see like the grass on the shoulder of the road. You couldn't tell where the shoulder was. You certainly couldn't tell where there was a center line. I mean, there was easily 4 or 5 inches of snow on the road. And it was very uneasy, very unnerving. I didn't feel very confident going that way. I kept going because I had to, okay, on that particular trip. Now, back to verse 19, it says, "Thy footsteps are not known." Asaph is saying that God is always at work. Thy way is in the sea, the path in the great waters, even though we can't see your footsteps in it. Even though we can't see it, we can't understand it, God is always at work when we can't see his footsteps. Just because we can't see the evidence of God working doesn't mean that he's not at work. And at some point, folks, at some point, we can look at the reasons for depression, how we get in depression, the signs of depression. We can even look at little nifty little things that we need to do to get out of depression. But at some point, we have to bring in this element of trust, faith, that God is at work. Even though we're stuck in our little whirlpool of blackness, God's still at work. He's calling us to do these things, to remember his works, to remember his greater works, to remember his blessings, to praise him, and trust that he's always at work. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, help us, because we do wrestle with this type of thing from time to time. It's not just an unsaved person's thing. It's a human thing. God, help us to do these things that we've looked at, to focus our eyes on you, meditating on you. And God, I pray too that we would seek the help of others to help pull us out. Tell us what we already know to be true, but we need to hear it anyway. And God, I pray that you would move in our hearts to be willing to help someone that might be struggling. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great night, folks. We'll look forward to reconnecting with you Sunday morning.